So, I'm here to do the little thing for the Sprawl Kids Edition.
The next stop, Sprawlcast.
You're listening to Sprawlcast. My name is Jeremy Clausus, and I'm the founder and editor of The Sprawl. Sprawlcast is a show made in collaboration with CJSW 90.9 FM, and we are broadcasting / podcasting from Calgary in Treaty 7 territory. Sprawlcast is a show for Albertans who want more than the daily news grind. We don't do press release journalism, and we go deep to bring you stories you won't hear anywhere else. Something's been bothering me this summer. Well, lots of things have been bothering most of us this summer. It's been that kind of year, to say the least. But this is something that's been quietly nagging me in the back of my mind. Back in April, in the weeks after schools were closed due to COVID-19, The Sprawl did a project called Sprawl Kids. We'd post an assignment for local kids to do at home, like draw a picture of what they love about their street. They'd send them in, and then we'd share their responses with our audience. The last assignment we gave was a radio assignment. We asked kids to interview somebody in their family about a hard time they had in their childhood and how they got through it. And I told kids that if you send in your report to The Sprawl, this is your chance to be on the radio. Because in addition to being a podcast, Sprawlcast is also broadcast on CJSW. Now, I don't know if being on the radio is a big deal with kids these days, but it was a big enough deal for four kids who sent in their stories: Alec, Angel, Sawyer, and Zyler. But then we got busy with other stories at The Sprawl, and we've had these radio reports sitting there all summer. And I keep thinking about it. I promised these kids that they'd be on the radio, and it's been months. Well, today's the day. It's finally time to share those stories. First, though, I want to give a quick update on a Sprawlcast I did earlier this year. And this is a good news story. In January, I did a story about a corner store in my neighborhood, the Stanley Jones Grocery.
I think that for our society and how we all live on technology and we don't see each other that often, that places like this are a necessity and they should be celebrated and treasured, and we should try to maintain them so that all of us can have their benefit.
You just heard Amy's side. Her mother, Fariza Threya, ran this corner store with her husband for many years. They bought the store in 1987, and in January, Fariza told me about some of the struggles and joys of running a corner store.
It's a hard business, but I think it's a good business, and if you take care of it and love your community, the store and the community will love you back. It's wonderful community, and people would, if I wasn't well, people would come, like when I broke my leg, the neighbors would come and do my dishes and make my meals and make things for the deli. One Ukrainian woman, she worked at the church making pierogies. So she came and made 500 pierogies for me. She said, "Mrs., you need help. I'm going to help you." She came and did all my work for me. It's a wonderful community.
Another couple runs the store now. But when I visited in January, Fariza and her family were working on the next iteration of their family's business in the back of the store.
As we look around this room, you've been busy here. What are you working on?
I'm working on a barbershop, I hope, if the city of Calgary allows it, for my grandson. And he's a young man now and has a family, and hopefully he makes a life and helps his family and keeps this place open.
Here's Mo Soraya, Fariza's grandson.
So we're currently trying to get our hands dirty and get the barbershop going. We've been doing some demolition, and it's a lot of work. There's a lot of garbage in there, so we're just trying to clear it right up and then get the barbershop rolling, get a few chairs in there, and hopefully get it operating. So we'll see.
And then COVID-19 hit. A raft of businesses closed everywhere, including in my neighborhood. And when I'd walk by the barbershop space, I'd feel a little sad. I assumed Mo's plans had already become just another dash dream in a year full of them. But then one day this summer, I was going by and I saw a spiffy new black and white awning above the door. The awning read, Chop Chop, Renfrew's Community Barber Shop. Beside the door was the familiar red, white, and blue of the barber pole, and there was an open sign in the window. Now, it might be a little thing, but it sure lifted my spirits to see it.
All right, here we are, Mo, outside your barber shop. It's looking pretty spiffy here. What's it like to finally open?
Well, it was a lot of work. It feels great to be here. I'm really happy to finally be, you know, open and operating. So, yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, totally. Walking by, because I live in the neighborhood, and when I'd walk by and think about interviewing you in January, and I'd think, damn, like, this is probably the worst time to, you know, yeah, be trying to open something like this. And I wondered, like, you know, is this going to happen? What's it been like for you?
I thought the exact same thing. I wasn't sure. I didn't think it would happen. Some days were like, oh, I don't know about this. And other days were like, no, this can happen. So it eventually happened. We came through, and I'm, like I said, I'm really happy. It's so weird to think that, you know, I'm opening up a business at a time like, you know, COVID, but yeah, we're here. People have been great too. The community's been awesome. Everyone's been inviting and been, you know, real nice. Even just to stop by, pop their head in and say hi. We have like a little screen window that I open up here, so they kind of be like, hey, without really coming in because of these COVID rules. So yeah, no, it's been great.
So people, like, even if they're, you know, not able to get their haircut right away, they're expressing their support as they can.
Exactly. And they'll be like, you know, I'm going to tell my neighbors, or I'm going to tell the guys I see at the bar, or, you know, people walk their dogs in the morning, or, you know, whatever. Yeah, they'll just, you know, say hi and be like, you know, I'll kind of like spread the word. Yeah, it's great.
It's been, I mean, even in this neighborhood, like, places have shut down, restaurants have shut down. It's a rough time. And what's it like to be going in the other direction, like bringing something to the neighborhood at this time?
It's kind of exciting and scary at the same time, because you just don't know. It's definitely not something I can like look at and say, okay, here's an example, I'm going to try and follow suit, right? It's like you've got to make your own example.
Make your own example. We've seen a bunch of people doing that on the community level this summer. I found another instance of this down the street from Moe's Barbershop, on the Tigerstead block of Center Street. That's where a community fridge opened in August. And you're probably wondering, what's a community fridge? Well, think of it as a cross between a little free library and a food bank.
Inside the fridge, we have the vegetables kind of housed in little compartments, just to make sure that it's easy to access, easy to see.
This is Alice Lamb, one of the people behind the Community Fridge project.
And basically, it's just a neighbor-to-neighbor project. If you have food items that you'd like to share, you can bring it to the fridge, and somebody who needs it can take it. There is no guideline on who can take. It's open to anybody, no questions asked. Like if I wanted a can of tuna, I could take a can of tuna right now. It doesn't matter, regardless of income or ability or anything like that, you can take something. So yeah, it's a cool community initiative.
How did it emerge? Like, it's been, obviously this has been a rough period of time where we're seeing a lot of stuff close down, businesses close down, community organizations struggling. Yeah. And then here on this corner, we have something new popping up.
Yeah, basically, we've seen a lot of ingenuity and innovation in other large cities where the gap between high income and low income is even larger than it is here in Calgary. And so basically, we saw lots of great examples. We have friends that live in big cities all over Canada and the US, and they were sharing on Instagram and social media, like, the free fridges that were propping up in big cities. And we just thought, like, that was such a cool idea. So I had a few friends message me and basically all said, like, can we do this in Calgary? And I was like, yeah, let's figure it out. And obviously Tigerstead is such like a community hub that we figured this would be a great location for the first one.
And how did it take shape? I mean, you've got a structure built, yeah, here, a fridge kind of in a little enclosure in the freezer,
yeah,
here.
It's pretty crazy. We looked at the timeline. It's only been like 3 weeks that we went from like ideation to like actually getting it out. So as soon as I started getting in touch with different volunteers and telling them about this project, like, among our founder group, we had so many people who just wanted to help make it happen. They all saw the need for it. They all saw the reason behind it. And so they were like, well, I'm a carpenter. I can help you build this. I can help you design it. The wood that we got from this is actually reclaimed from another building down the street. Their doors, the electrical work, one of our volunteers, Jen, her brother-in-law is an electrician, and he's like, I want to help run the power to like plug in the fridges and everything. We painted it. We were able to elicit like local artist Riz to do the mural. And then obviously a lot of our members are artists, so we were able to create cute signage, like really make it look professional and welcoming. That's the biggest point. Like, we didn't want it to just be, oh, there's like a random fridge on the street, like have at her. We wanted it to be very well maintained, clear signage, welcoming, and also it will soon be multilingual, so we're going to be translating all the signage in other languages so that it's as welcoming as possible for everybody.
And what's the response been so far from folks?
It's been so positive. Like, I feel like every time I'm over at the fridge, I meet somebody new who's telling me a story about why they're giving back to the fridge or why it's so important for the fridge to exist and why they're so happy that it's here. You know, no questions asked. They can just get the food that they need and they're going to tell their friends. And, you know, it makes a huge difference. Like, I think a lot of times I'm so grateful for the ability to have fridge, like food at my home. You know, it's not something that I ever have to think about. But for so many Calgarians, especially during the pandemic, sometimes it's just like your paycheck's not going that far. Especially if you're on like unemployment or whatever, like it's just not enough. And so this is one way to bridge that gap.
Totally. And I'm trying to remember, I think I saw you write something on Twitter about how some folks are perplexed by it, or like, here's food sitting out. There's no gatekeeper here.
Yeah, they're wondering like, oh, is there security? Like, how are you going to put a lock on the door? And they're very surprised that it's 24/7. What we've found in other cities is that nobody's really messing with it, right? Like, and if it is, like, we're so privileged to have the resources to fix it if it happens. We hope for the best. And so far, everybody's been super respectful. People are taking, and you know, some people are like, well, what if it's emptied out at the end of the night and somebody just takes it all home and never has to get groceries? I'm like, then obviously that's a problem and we're helping fix it. So that's awesome. You know, what the pandemic has really taught us is that we have to take a step back and really look at more like human to human interaction, and just saying like, it's not about the money, it's not about private property, it's just about sharing. Like, we all have something to give. And it's a lot of people who are low income and marginalized who are coming to donate too, because they're like, this is an awesome way for me to be able to give back in a way that I normally wouldn't have to. And that's why we have to change the narrative of like have versus have not, right, in Calgary. Yeah.
And this project isn't just for grown-ups.
We also want it to be like fun for kids, right? Like, so we have like popsicles in there. We want to show like children too at a very young age, like why you would want to share what you have. Like, even kids have something to give.
Speaking of kids, now it's time to hear those Sprawl Kids assignments. Like I said at the start, we asked kids to interview one of their family members about their childhood, specifically about a tough time they had and how they got through it. Four kids did the assignment. We're going to hear now from Alec, Angel, Zyler, and Sawyer.
So I'm here to do the little thing for the Sprawl Kids edition. I interviewed my uncle on a time that was hard in his life, but how he got through it. So, what happened to him was he had troubles with a bully in his school when he was in grade 5. But, and it wasn't the worst bully he had ever had, but it got under his skin. He was doing conflict management in grade 5, but he stood up to the bully, and then a little while later, they actually ended up becoming friends, like really good friends, and the bully was like on his soccer team even, and he was a good player, and so, yeah, that one had a happy ending.
My name is Angel. I am 12 years old, and I'm in grade 7. I interviewed my dad, Alex. As a child, he moved to the city, Lagos. from his village. He did not speak the local language, Yoruba or English. He learned to read in language by reading all he could read and making friends to help him. I learned that if you have a positive attitude, you can do anything.
Hi, my name is Zyler. I interviewed my grandpa. He said a tough time for him was when he had just gotten married with my grandma, and then she got pregnant with my uncle and my grandpa had just gotten a job. So he did not have enough money to take care of my uncle. I learned not to get married when I'm a young adult.
My name is Sawyer. I interviewed my grandma Francine. I learned that she lived in Tillsonburg, Ontario when she was little. I asked her if there was a tough time that she remembers that was hard for her and her family. There were 8 kids in her family, but not a lot of money. Once, they were going for groceries, and her parents were talking about not having enough money to pay. Luckily, they ran over a pheasant with their car, and it fed them for a week. I asked her how it made her feel. She said it made her feel lucky because they were able to eat for a week. Next, I asked how she got through the tough times. She said all of the kids pitched in to do chores, and when they were old enough, they got jobs to help the family. I asked what she learned from all this. She said she learned to be responsible.
I really hope that this outbreak can have a happy ending, but I mean... yeah, I guess that's it. Thanks for listening.
End of line. Thanks for listening and see you again soon.
On Sprawlcast today, you heard Alec, Angel, Zyler, and Sawyer. And I gotta say, kids, great job with those assignments. You left me wanting more, which is the mark of a good story. On this episode, you also heard Amy Side, Fariza Threya, Mo Saraya, and Alice Lamb. This episode was edited by me and Hadil Abdelnabi. Hadil is the Sprawl's staff writer intern. Her most recent story for the Sprawl is about the Stoney Nakoda Nation taking the Alberta government to court over the sale of water from Kananaskis country. You can read that story and more at sprawlcalgary.com. The Sprawl team is me, Hadil, assistant editor Jimena Gonzalez, comics artist Sam Hester, and art director Chris Pecora. Our theme music is by Dan D. Agostino and Kenny Murdoch. Our C-Train narrator is Holly McConnell. Thanks for listening and see you next time. Hey, before you go, just a friendly reminder that The Sprawl is crowdfunded. We rely on our listeners to make it possible for us to tell stories like this one. Please consider becoming a Sprawl member today. You can sign up at sprawlcalgary.com.